Penguin Random House Audio presents It Takes a Tribe, Building the Tough Mudder Movement, by Will Dean, with Tim Adams. Read for you by Elliot Hill. Chapter 1. In the Beginning, the First Mudder. One jumps into the fray, then figures out what to do next. Napoleon Bonaparte. In May 2010, I found myself halfway up a small mountain in a deserted ski resort in Allentown, Pennsylvania, surrounded by piles of long metal poles. There was a fine rain in the air. Shouts of desperation could occasionally be heard from the pine woods in the distance, as if from a retreating army. I was speaking to a reporter from Allentown's local paper. It was the day of the first tough mudder, the first day of the rest of my life, and things were not going entirely to plan. The reporter was looking at me with some concern. I had not slept for a week, and for a couple of months had existed solely on caffeine and anxiety. A large angry boil had erupted on one side of my face. To hide it, I was scraggly unshaven and standing oddly at an angle, as if squinting around a corner, affecting what I hoped was an air of lofty British authority. "So, Will," the reporter said, trying to catch my eye, "what are you doing here today in Allentown?" This was a question that loomed large in my own thoughts, though usually with a couple of stronger words added between "what" and "are." There was a short answer and a long answer. The short answer went something like this: "I am trying to create 17 obstacles, partly out of these long metal poles, on the edge of a town I know only from a Billy Joel song. These obstacles must be both dramatically risky and generally safe, and spaced out over a 7-mile course up and down this mountain and through these pine woods. Neither I nor my team of volunteers, mostly friends from England, actually have any direct experience building obstacles, nor do we have any blueprints for them. Still, we have been doing this, with the help of the ski resort maintenance department, to the best of our ability, so that several thousand people, many of them veterans of the world's most demanding endurance events, or members of the US military fresh home from war zones, or officers serving in the local police and fire departments, will not shortly be chasing me up this mountain, over those obstacles, and demanding their money back. The longer answer was even more complicated. I was 29 years old. 2 years earlier, I had walked out on a fast-track career in the British Foreign Office, in which I had worked intensively for 5 years on classified anti-terrorist operations in the Middle East and Afghanistan. I had spent those subsequent 2 years and the little money I had saved acquiring an MBA at Harvard Business School, in the possibly misguided belief that by doing so, I would learn how to be an entrepreneur. Most of my peers from Harvard, who had also spent 2 years and all that money, were by now counting the zeros on job offers from Wall Street private equity firms, or playing volleyball with their stock options on a campus in Silicon Valley. My own efforts in that career-oriented direction consisted of a 6-week trial at the elite management consulting firm Bain & Company, mostly, if I'm honest, on my mother's long-ago insistence that I at least try a proper job. My enthusiasm for suit-wearing and salary drawing had become boredom by day 3. Boredom that I imagined would be my primary experience, had I stayed, for the remaining 30 years of my career. My subsequent inactivity and its effect on my personal balance sheet had not gone unnoticed, however. My girlfriend, Katie, herself recently graduated from Harvard Law School and equally weighed down by debt, had generously, if pointedly, offered to support me for a year, if bad came to worse. Citibank, the owner of my student loan, was proving less supportive. My relationship manager had called earlier that week to ask the $100,000 question: when and by what means would I start making payments against their bet on my future? He gave me the helpful advice that, if I did not start now, my $100,000 question would quickly become a $150,000 one. I had, I believed, developed habits of strategic thinking and practice in
Sample complete. Ready to continue?